The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Should submitting to the Lordship of Christ be a necessary condition for receiving eternal salvation? How does the Bible speak of the Lordship of Christ, and where does it fit in? Hello, friend. We welcome you to Grace in Focus, this daily ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Our website for more information about us is faithalone.org. We have an annual national conference coming up soon in about a month, May the 19th through the 22nd. We'd love for you to get information about that. Get registered and come be a part of it. That and information about other aspects of our ministry is at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Ken Yates and Catherine Wright.
We got a great question from Stephanie. Catherine.
Shout out to Stephanie. She's one of our Zoom students, too.
That's right. Yeah. One of our Zoom students. And she asked a question. I'm going to summarize it. She talks about the phrase lordship salvation, or making Jesus Lord of your life.
Submitting to the lordship
there
of Christ.
There you go. Yeah. That's the way she worded it. Yeah. Submitting to the lordship of Christ. And she recognizes that leads to problems, big problems, when you make that a condition for eternal life. So let's talk about that phrase, the lordship of Christ, or submitting to the lordship of Christ, especially as it is used in evangelistic services or evangelistic presentations.
Certain groups.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and it's very common. We've all heard it. You need to submit to the lordship of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they'll say you need to submit to the lordship of Christ in order to be saved, or you need to make Jesus Lord of your life.
That's right.
In order to be saved. I mean,
I think
that's
of
very
two,
common.
The common analogy that you'll hear is the idea of there's the throne of your heart and you're sitting on it and you need to get off and make Jesus sit on the throne of your heart, something along those lines.
Right. And I mean, you hear these clever little phrases, if he's not Lord of all, then he's not Lord of
at all.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think probably we could say that that is the, well, I don't know if it's the most common way to present the gospel, but certainly it is a very common way to do it.
That's right, yeah.
A very popular way to do it. And that's one of the attacks on free grace theology, right? In fact, we're called the no lordship gospel sometimes. That you can't have Jesus as Savior if he's not your Lord.
That's right, yeah.
And so Stephanie rightly points out in her question that that is obviously not right. And by the way, this has got a history. Back in the 50s, there was a debate over this between, I believe it was Stott and Harrison, for example. And in more recent times, it was carried on by Hodges and Ryrie on one side and John MacArthur on the other. And then, of course, at Grace Evangelical Society, one of our major tenets is that no, you don't have to make him Lord of your life in order to be saved, because that would be a work.
Mm-hmm.
And we are saved by grace through faith apart from works.
I think also a distinction we try to make is that when we talk about, or when you hear people talk about making Jesus Lord of your life, the implication there is that that is a lifelong endeavor, right? This is my life, which is ongoing, you know. It's not a momentary thing, but we're saying I need to submit to his lordship for the rest of my life, which is ongoing, rather than saying the gift of eternal life I receive in a moment and I'm born again in that moment and it's instantaneous and it's not something that I have to continue to maintain through my obedience. So we make that distinction as well. Whereas I think with the lordship salvation, folks, the implication there is that this is a decision I'm making that I have to maintain for the rest of my life.
Yeah, and I'm sure that, well, the lordship salvation people would say that if you do that, then he's going to,
he will help
he will
you.
Be the Lord mm-hmm. of your life. But when you come to him, you have to do that. But it's interesting. They never define, how do you make him the Lord of your life?
Right. What does that mean?
Yeah. What does that mean? I mean, now what they're going to say is that means you got to be willing to give up all your sin.
Repent, certainly.
Turn from your sin. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they'll say you got to be willing to do it. Other times they'll say, oh, no, you got to do it. Mm-hmm. Like if you're living with someone you're not married to, if you're not willing to move out of the house, then you can't believe in him as Lord, and therefore you can't be saved.
I think you also hear the idea of giving your life to Jesus in those types of conversation or evangelistic calls. You need to surrender your life, come forward, the altar call mentality, right? It's you've got to come and give your life to him.
Right. So, now Stephanie in her question, though, and I think this is a great question here, is she says, is it legitimate then to, she rejects the Lordship salvation in order to be saved, but she goes, is it legitimate to speak of submitting to the Lordship of Christ in sanctification?
That's right.
And is it okay to use the phrase that way?
Mm-hmm.
And certainly when we look in the New Testament, there are calls by the Lord and by Paul, for example, where it refers to Jesus being the Lord of someone's life or of someone's actions.
It's coming. It'll be here before you know it. What am I talking about? The Grace Evangelical Society's National Conference 2025, May 19th through 22nd at Camp Copus, an absolutely beautiful campground in North Texas, right on the lake with lots of recreation, great food, a great place to stay, wonderful fellowship, and wonderful free grace Bible teaching. Information and online registration now at faithalone.org/events. First-timers waive registration fees. faithalone.org/events.
And just a few verses that come to mind, for example, is in Luke 6, when Jesus gives the Sermon on the Plain. Towards the end of it, he goes, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I say?
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking to the disciples. This is not an evangelistic passage. He's talking to people who are already believers. And he goes, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things I say? And the implication there, well, it's not even an implication. It's very direct that you ought to, if you call him Lord, Lord, you need to be doing the things he says.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to be, let's use that phrase, the Lord of
your life.
Mm-hmm. In Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38, Jesus says, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, even though the word's not used there, making him Lord of your life, that's certainly the implication, that he expects you to deny the things that you want to do and do the things that he's commanding you to do. You need to deny yourself and follow in his footsteps.
Mm-hmm. You also have a similar idea at the end of John 2, 23 through 25. There are those who have believed in him, but they weren't willing to confess him. And so they weren't willing to publicly, to use that phrase, give their life to him, even though that involved suffering and possibly being kicked out of the synagogue and all that came with it. And so to confess him publicly, to make him Lord over your life in that way was a very costly thing, which I think is something we're trying to draw out as well, that as we talk about the distinction between salvation, that's a gift that's freely given to those who believe in Jesus. And Stephanie sees that. But when we talk about sanctification or discipleship, that is costly. And that does involve submitting to him and surrendering your life, if you will, if you want to use that phrase. But that is distinct from the message of eternal life by faith alone.
And we have a similar idea in John 12:42, where it says that many among the believers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And obviously there, the implication is they weren't confessing him publicly. They weren't willing to, let's just use the phrase, make him Lord of their lives, doing the things that he commanded. And then one more passage we can go to that's probably more direct here is Romans 10:9, where Paul says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, GS has got great literature on that, that he is the Lord in the sense that he is able to deliver you from the wrath of God, the wrath that sin brings into your life. He's the resurrected Lord, and he's able to deliver you from these things if you go to him. And so this is another verse where we could say, well, yeah, the ideal is Jesus needs to be Lord of the life of the believer.
That it's believers there.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even there in Romans 10:9, Paul says, how shall they call upon him in whom they've not already believed?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is another instance where we can say that believers need to make Jesus Lord of their life. But Stephanie's question is, should we use that terminology? What do you think, Catherine?
Her question is it wrong to say that we need to submit to the Lordship of Christ in sanctification? No, I don't think that that's wrong. And certainly, as we looked at all these examples, the Bible has given instructions to believers to do so. But the problem is with the phrasing. Sometimes we talk about the idea of Christianese making him Lord of your life. As that is being used just within everyday life in the church, it's usually understood in an evangelistic way. I would encourage us to stay away from the language of lordship, unless you are defining it as we are here, as we're trying to make that distinction between salvation and sanctification. And Stephanie does that. She asks, you know, is it wrong as we're dealing with the conversation with sanctification? But I would just say tread lightly at the very least, because as you're talking to somebody, you could easily talk over them, because as they understand submitting to the Lordship of Christ, that could easily for many be under the column of salvation. So it's hard because obviously the scriptures use the concept of the Lord as being our Lord, right? And that we are to, as you're looking at individual passages, you have to define it.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I remember somebody saying that, you know, you got to confess Jesus is Lord. No, he's Lord whether we confess him or not.
That's true.
And so as a believer in Jesus Christ, I have eternal life. And you mentioned another word, surrender.
Yeah.
It's not even in the New Testament.
Right.
And so we use this, what was your
Christianese.
Christian jargon. But certainly we could, he is Lord whether we confess him or not. And yeah, if we're talking and we understand the context and we understand what we mean, then sure, we can say he needs to be Lord of your life. Mm-hmm. He is the Lord of you. He should be the Lord of your life. But we have the freedom as believers of not making him Lord of our lives, and we still have eternal life. Well, Stephanie, that's a great question. I hope this helps. And in the meantime,
keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, if a sinning believer is not being chastened by God, what does this mean? Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.